Hello, everyone, and welcome to our latest episode of Bookish, a casual book club. As always, I'm Sylvia Lee, joined by my colleagues.
Kofi Adisa.
I'm Laura Yu.
One day it'll be less awkward, right? But
I know. Until one day.
Not today. And today we're talking about summer reading.
Yay!
We are all about the summer here in my household. The kids are out of school, and we have our eyes set on what types of activities we're going to do this summer, and that includes reading. So every year, I know like a lot of publications come out with books to read over the summer. I think the New York Times has one for like every genre and category. But here at Bookish, we like to do things a little bit more, add a little spice to it. And so we're embarking on our own little reading challenge, if you will. And we have Kofi to thank for this one, for this idea. Hey. So for those of you listening, we encourage you to join along. In a nutshell, our challenge is to read at least one book that kind of goes out of the norm of what we would typically read. Dare I say, we may look it down with a bit of disdain. I would never spend my time reading that, that author.
Right.
And so Kofi said, I think we should do this. And, Laura and I, we're not one to back down from a challenge, as you guys
bring know. It on.
Yep, there you go. So what are you guys, what are you guys reading? What's on your challenge list?
Well, for me, there were books by authors who are very popular and have notoriety and success that I tend, as a lit person or a literary fiction reader, I don't always read their stuff. And because I feel like it's very popular, my old writing teacher might have said schlocky. It's kind of schlock writing, but I don't think that's fair. So I've never read a Jodi Picoult book before. I think that's how she says her last name. If she ever listens and says it's wrong, please correct me. So the book I am going to read from her, I don't know where this is in her oeuvre of stories, but Mercy. It's one word. It has flowers on it. And I thought, this looks like something I would normally not read. So I've ordered it. It's on its way. It should be here today. And that's my challenge, to not only read it, but read it through, finish it, and have a very positive report when we come back from summer.
What if you hate it?
I know. You gotta let yourself.
Well, I'm gonna try not to hate it, because I think I can do that very easy. I think I go, oh man, this is so crappy. Because something about her writing is successful and I can learn from it. So
I've actually heard positive things about her writing. I've never read her either.
All right. Well, I said yes to the challenge and I was trying to think of what do I not read? Generally, I don't read vampire stories. So at first, I think Kofi, you suggested Anne Rice. But then Sylvia was like, but Anne Rice is actually really good.
No, hear me out. She's good. She's like,
yeah. So
people on Anne Rice like they do on Stephen King. They are messy.
Yeah.
I have to say, years ago, I did read Deborah Harkness, the All Souls trilogy. And that's like vampire and witches, I think. And I thought that was really good. But other than that, I really don't read vampire stories. And so I was thinking of, a Twilight series. But I've already seen the movies and I don't know if I want to read the book. So I will go with Stephanie Myers, I think is her name.
Yep.
And her other book called The Host, which I think was also made into a movie. And it's about like post-apocalyptic, world where aliens take over bodies or something like that, souls or something. So, and I think it was really successful novel from her. So I will be reading that as part of my challenge. I'll let you know.
Yeah. So I will be reading. So I am reading a book that was turned into a movie that I have seen, which is all the more reason why I didn't want to read the book or book. But I shall be reading the Crazy Rich Asians series. I'm going to try to make my way through to, I think it's a trilogy. At any rate, I'm not reading past three books, but of this, but by Kevin Kwan. And I have a lot of feelings about Crazy Rich Asians. I thought the movie was entertaining and landmarking for, what is it? Groundbreak, groundbreaking for the representation side, but I had some issues with some of the tropes perpetuated in that movie. So yeah, I will be reading that one, and I shall also try to read it with an open mind.
Open-mindedness matters.
Yes, it does. I'm not trying to be reading snobs here.
No, but I'm not only reading Mercy. Yeah. And I think that that's healthy. I think as readers, especially if people want to follow us in our book club journey, in our reading journeys, it's really incumbent upon, I think, us, you know, hosting this, is to step out of our comfort zone, because not every reader is comfortable reading, you know, and we don't always read the same types of books. And so it's good that we try to branch out and look at things as models of what we want our audience to do. Read a little more. Step out of your comfort zone. Don't just read nonfiction. Read Mercy.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
No. Funny thought, not thought, but funny thing happened yesterday. I was watching something, and I guess Oprah Winfrey announced her book club book, which is Nathan Harris's The Sweetest Water, or The Sweetness of Water, or something like that. So I thought, huh, but I resisted. I resisted going on to Amazon and picking up that book or reading a blurb about it, because I felt like, see, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to be that person that is, my fame makes the book interesting. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know who Nathan Harris is. He's probably a fine writer, but I do know the subject matter is about, it deals in the Confederacy, deals with something dealing with slave times. I don't know much more about it. That's very, very shallow synopsis of what I know. And I thought, like, yeah, I don't think I want to read another one of those. And that's not fair. So I'm going to try to be open-minded. But sometimes I think, you know, I'm guilty of that snobbery, like, oh. And I think we could try to be better at that. At least I can be better at that.
Well, speaking of, like, those kinds of, like, celebrity book clubs, I think I have wondered, you know, when they start printing books and they put like that sticker on the cover, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's Oprah's book club or I think Reese Witherspoon's book club is also really popular. I'm sure just in terms of like sheer number of people who follow those celebrities, it's going to increase book sales. But I wonder also if those stickers, if they're thinking about who they're turning off, like turning away, right? By putting those stickers on their books, for example. So I wondered about the effects of, you know, a book belonging to this celebrity or that celebrity's book club, aside from the book sale numbers. I'm sure it's great for book sales, but in terms of like, I have also wondered like, oh, I wonder how the authors feel about that. And have there been authors who say, no, thanks, I don't want your sticker on my book. I don't know.
Wasn't that an issue between the Oprah book club and Jonathan Franzen some time ago that she, I think it was the corrections that she was recommending. And I think he made a comment, and I could be wrong, so please don't hold this to me, something to the effect, not so much about the sticker, but about her audience and her reading audience. I think there was something that I think he was flattered, but I think he also felt like, I don't know if her audience would be able to read this kind of book. And having tried to read the corrections, I'm not even an Oprah fan. I don't think that anyone, like,
I have a copy of it on my shelf.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one of my summer reads, but I have tried to read it. I've liked other books from him, but I just couldn't get into it. But yeah, I do wonder, you know, if just on pure book sale numbers, that's probably great to have these popular people. And so in terms of capitalism, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But if just because your book sells doesn't mean that people are actually reading it or enjoying what they're reading. And so that's where I always wonder, you know, is the goal to just be a best-selling author or to be recognized among your peers or both? Maybe it's both.
I think I see like those celebrity book clubs gaining traction. I think I see that, like Reese Witherspoon and Oprah, like they feel like they are bringing more literacy to the masses, you know, or like, you know, exposing people to different types of literature, which is great. You know, not everyone's going to pick up Jonathan Franzen, you know. And I also see more so recently than in the past, like with Oprah and Reese, them trying to shine a spotlight on non-major authors who then automatically by virtue of their recommendation become catapulted into like best-selling author, like recognition among peers, like you were saying, Kofi. And I don't, especially for like authors who are trying to make it, I would be very surprised if like any of them would decline that type of publicity, you know, and the
sales. Absolutely.
Because it pretty much guarantees their next books, you know, it guarantees their like success as a writer, essentially, so they can make a living doing what they love to do. And, you know, a lot of times packaged into that are like media deals, you know, the book, the Oprah's book club will become a movie, you know, same with Witherspoon, she will probably opt it into like a series that she will then star, produce and direct or something. So I think like it brings stories like to the masses, and I think they are trying to highlight different types of stories. So for that, I recognize their intent and motivation. Yeah. You're right. When you drag it into the capitalist machine, like it seems counter to what writers would try to do, I would think. Maybe I'm too naive. I don't know.
You know, and this isn't a shot at any celebrity who reads a variety of books and wants to have a club that's social and big. So, and I thought about this, if Oprah had recommended Deesha Filiaw's The Secret Lives of Church Ladies, that would not make that book less good or more better. It's a really good book, regardless. And I think Oprah in the past has recommended books that were actually really good. But there's also this question, are they really good because now an audience is seeing it? Or is it really good because it's really good? And that's the part.
Or because someone has deemed it to be good. Like they have a lot of power that they wield over what they say is good or not good. And that to me is concerning when someone can make that decision for so many people for those reasons, Kofi, like, because the audience will agree, like, you know, they will go with what.
Yeah, it's because it's about trust. We trust them. They have, for whatever reason, ethos in terms of literature, in terms of reading. I don't know why, but they do. They do, you know, and it's not like Oprah is, you know, a literature scholar of some sort. She's a talk show host who did journalism. It's great. She's great. But we trust these people. And I'm assuming our audience trusts us in some shape or fashion. And so with that trust, like Uncle Ben told Spider-Man, Peter, with great power comes great responsibility. And so you kind of have to think through, I think, a little bit more. So yeah, I appreciate some of the authors that I'm not familiar with, Reese Witherspoon's book club, but some of the books that I know that Oprah recommended, some of them were really good and some of them were trash, quite frankly. But some of them were really good.
Why did I totally think of Rice when you said Uncle Ben?
I built in the context with Spider-Man. And so, you know, when I said Uncle Ben told Spider-Man, you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Uncle Ben.
Well,
yeah,
got it. And I think these celebrity book clubs, the popularity of them indicates sort of the social aspect of reading that people crave, right? And yes, like reading itself is a solitary activity. But then the activities around reading, even like what we're doing right now, right? Like talking about books and what we're gonna read. For me anyway, I'm sure it's not like that with every reader, but for me, I definitely need that social interaction with books or around books. And that's why I enjoy book clubs and, you know, doing a podcast like this. And I think it sort of like brings people together, even virtually or even strangers. In that regard, that's a good thing, I guess.
So what's on your general summer reading list, guys? Like, what else do you have going on with that?
I started reading this book. I know we're a podcast, but we're on Zoom right now, so I'll show it to you. How to Stop Time. How to Stop Time. I heard it's been optioned already for a movie. I heard that Benedict Cumberbatch is playing the lead character. Where did I hear it? I don't know. But it's about a guy who is 400 years old. So he is not a vampire, but just ages very slowly, very, very slowly at a much slower rate than other humans. So they kind of like treat it as like a medical situation. But so like, you know, it's his story. And it's actually by this author whose other book that I really enjoyed called The Midnight Library.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of plays with different timelines and what is time. And it was a really fun read. So I wanted to read his other book that was also popular. So that's called How to Stop Time. And then I already read one of Seth Cha's A Juniper Song series, and it's like crime novel, thriller, mystery. And the reason why I picked it up was because I had never read a like or mysteries or written, you know, this kind of books written by a Korean American writer, but also featuring like a detective who's Korean American woman. Like, what? I've never seen that before. So I read the first book in the trilogy. It's called Follow Her Home. And, you know, it's good. It's good. So I'm going to finish out the trilogy and read Beware, Beware, which is the second one, I think, and then Dead Soon Enough. So I want to finish out the trilogy of Steph Cha's A Juniper Song series. And then I also really enjoy like young adult books, and also because sometimes they're shorter or like more compact, and I like the sense of like, oh yes, I finished the book today. And so another book that I have on my list is called They Both Die at the End.
Oh.
And from my understanding, it features Latin American Latinx characters who are both, and I think they're young adults, and I think it's a like LGBTQ relationship centered.
Oh, wow.
So very like in terms of representation and theme, it's very interesting. And yeah, so the two characters are given their, they're told that they're going to die. and it's about how they spend this last, they find each other, this new friendship, and figure out their last days or something. So I haven't read it yet, so I don't know if that's exactly how it goes. But I've heard it like being discussed on the radio and things like that. So, so yeah, that's called They Both Die at the End. I mean, it does not sound uplifting.
Yeah. I know.
No.
but I hear it's good.
All right.
Maybe it's a surprise ending.
Maybe. A couple of things I've already started. Lisa Cross Smith's This Close to Okay. I don't know why I hold it up in a Zoom and we're on a podcast. But anyway, I saw you do it, Laura, and I was commenting.
Well, I like seeing the covers, though. You know,
it's a cool cover. And I started reading it, and it's about a therapist who prevents a guy from killing himself, or at least that's the idea she had in her head. And it happens in a span of a weekend, and this chance encounter develops into something. And whatever that something is, I have yet to see it because I'm only 30 pages in yet. But it's very interesting. She has a light, airy kind of writing style. Her sentences are not as dense. They're very straightforward and, you know, crafted really well. So I like it. I got Keith Lehman's Long Division. Very interesting structure. It's kind of upside down. So part of the book is one way and the other part is upside down. So I always like that. I also have Zakiya Delilah Harris's The Other Black Girl. And I was debating which book to read. And I chose Lisa Cross Smith's book first. The Other Black Girl is about this Black woman who is one, if not the only Black person in this publishing house. And then this new Black woman comes and they sort of develop a bond, but somehow or another, this new Black woman becomes an antagonist to the other Black woman. So the other Black girl. So that inter-power dynamic, that seems interesting to me. And I wanted to read that. So that and good old Jody, I'm sure there are other things I'm going to read. Some of them, like The Ghost in the Black Girl's Mouth, that's a book of poetry. I thought it wasn't, but it is. And then the final revival of Opal and Nev, that's the next book I'll be reading. So yeah.
You have a book-filled summer ahead of you.
I I do, and you like you, Sylvia, sometimes I'm reading multiple things at the same time. But yeah, and then I'm just going to start writing. And then, so that's going to be most of July into August.
Awesome. Well, I hope you have a productive July and August. So I am trying to read on a theme of love and wonder this summer, because I've had my fill of death and decay for the last year. So I was like, you know what? And you know what really started me on was Disha Filia. I was like, you know, I want to read more stories that are like a little bit, you know, and I'm not saying that they're all like happy ending stories necessarily, but they have to do with something like that. So the book I started is called World of Wonders by Amy Nezhukuma Tateel. And it's a book of like short nonfiction essays, personal essays. And she kind of takes a look at different creatures and plants and animals like around the world, or like, you know, that are related to some part of her personal story. And she kind of writes like a personal essay that also relates to, it's kind of like memoir-esque to her upbringing, her relationship with her mother and her sister. So yeah, so it's called World of Wonders, in praise of fireflies, whale sharks, and other astonishments. And so that's what I kind of liked about it. I want to be astonished a little bit. So, and my son is like really into animals, like whale sharks, fireflies, and he's astonished by them all. And I figured this is a good way to like connect with him, I guess, and be able to talk about creatures with him. The other book I'm reading is called Love in Color, Mythical Tales from Around the World Retold by Bolu Babalola. And I love mythology. I also have one called A Thousand Beginnings and Endings that I'm trying to finish this summer. And it's Asian mythology, different stories from different Asian countries. And I've always loved mythology. And I think a lot of our readers can maybe relate to that, because I hear that a lot from people. So this author, I think, takes like love stories from around the world, I think, and sets them in like different contexts. So like, I think typically my frame of reference with mythology has always been like Western mythology. And I think she takes a different approach to that. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to that one. And then I have like, I'm not going to go through this list, but I have like a set of like 20 books of poems that I'm getting ready to read through in August. That's my August poetry challenge. And so I'll post that later, like on Instagram and stuff like that, if anybody's interested in following along. Oh, and my final book that I just added that I'm reading is by our friend Honoré Fanon Jeffers. She's out with a new novel, her first novel in July.
Oh, wow.
Called The Love Songs of W.B. Du Bois. So I'm really, yeah, yes, Kofi. Yes, that facial expression. Wow. Kofi's face is like, what? So I'm really excited about that one. And it's coming out July 27th. So I'm going to be pre-ordering that. So for our listeners out there, what are you reading this summer? Are you going to, you know, we're interested in knowing what types of books and titles that you're into, hearing your thoughts. So please, you can leave us a comment on the Dragon Digital Radio Facebook page underneath our podcast, or reach out to Kofi, Laura, myself directly. And yeah, this has been Bookish, a casual book club. Thanks for joining us, guys, and happy reading.
Happy summer reading.
Happy reading.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.